Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money? Still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
As we move into the 8 o'clock hour here, it's the Christian Arcand Show, WEEI, live in our Brighton studios. We're powered by Verizon, and we are Boston Sports Original. If you missed any part of the first 2 hours, like our conversation with Chris Price, you can listen to the Christian Arcand Show podcast on Apple, Spotify, wherever it is that you get your podcasts. Kickoff about 15 minutes away here. I see Joe Buck and Troy Aikman on my screen right now. I did not know this. I wasn't aware of this. Until the Thursday night game. That was the last time we had to go counter-program against the Patriots. But I was told by many people online and afterwards that a lot of people just left me on and watched the game with me on in the background, which I think is very nice. So if you'd like to do that, I'd certainly appreciate it. I'm not going to talk a lot about the game while it's going on. I feel like that's counterintuitive. However, we'll be checking in on what's going on. And if you're watching the game and you want to, hear the ramblings going on in the background. It is 8 o'clock on a football night, which means we have the propensity to get pretty weird here. I mean, it could get very weird. Joe, just be ready, buddy. You know, we could get into all sorts of weird spots. Because why not? Why not? It is very cold in Foxborough. It's very cold all around, I'll tell you that. Temperatures tonight expected to be sitting right around the mid-20s, which is... I'd say, not like a record or anything like that, but definitely about as cold as it's been so far this year. Drake May, North Carolina guy. I know that he did say that it gets cold in North Carolina. I think he told Andy Hart that, but it doesn't get cold like this in North Carolina. Yeah, Drew.
I mean, it's better than them playing tonight in the cold versus the quote-unquote storm that is expected to roll through tomorrow night.
True, although maybe not. I don't know.
At least for the whoever lives closer to the water.
I suppose, right. In terms of the game and who the weather may be more effective for, I don't know about that. I'm not sure about the Patriots and cold weather. That's another part of this thing that we're not really sure about yet. Not just cold weather, but like really inclement weather. They've played in the rain a couple of times, right? They've played in some rainy games. But have they played in freezing cold weather? Have they played in the snow? Have they played in the middle of a nor'easter? These are things that you don't really think about when you're a team that's 4-13. You're not worried about, can they win in the snow? You just want them to win a game. When your team's good again, these are the things you think about. Well, can they win weather games? Are they equipped for these weather games? Belichick's not out there seeding the clouds anymore. That's a shame. That was always a thing that you looked at and always felt like was an advantage. It was an advantage for the Patriots. Now, maybe they were just good and everything was an advantage. But it seemed like when there was a weather game, no matter what, advantage Patriots. Even if it was an away game, they'd be able to figure out the elements better than the other team. Because Bill planned for it or because whatever. I mean, there was always some sort of reason for it. I think they were mostly Belichick-oriented. But that was a thing. It's not going to be bad weather tonight. It's not like it's going to snow or hail or even rain tonight, but it is going to be cold. So we'll see. We'll see how everybody handles it. Looks like a packed house there at Gillette. That's another thing. That's another thing that I think has been sort of underreported here, is that the Patriots, while, Vegas and everybody has their skepticism about them, around here, I mean, they're back. There's no question about it. Around here, they are back, and they are back big. attendance is up. Everything's up. I mean, they're, you know, I'm sure they're selling. Drake May jerseys are impossible to find. That's like a really hot Christmas present right now. You're trying to buy a Drake May jersey of a certain size, it's hard to find those things. I remember with the Red Sox this year, like towards the end of the season, just towards the end, it was hard to find like a Garrett Crochet jersey because they stopped stocking them. You know, eventually they're like, all right, the season's almost over. There's not going to be, you know, quite this big of a thing here. We don't need to buy back, you know, another million jerseys from Fanatics or whatever. We can sell what we have and then we'll get ready for the offseason. And so it was sort of hard to find them. They did restock them, and I had a cousin who really wanted a Crochet jersey. So I was like, yeah, no problem. I'm with the Red Sox. I can get whatever you want. And I couldn't get one. It's like, yeah, actually, they're sold out. But they did finally come back with them. I wonder about that at Gillette. You know, I wonder about just Drake May jerseys. You're never going to run out of those because he's the starting quarterback. You got to, you know, print up millions of them. But there is renewed interest, renewed spending power. All the things that I think that ownership was hoping would eventually come back, and it's all come back pretty quickly here. And that is that's good news for them. It's good news for everybody. It's good for business. Being good and winning games, very, very good for business. I don't know if you ever heard that one before. We will get to the headlines here. In fact, let's get to them right now. We're past 8 o'clock. It's about 8:10, but let's get to our 8 o'clock headlines.
These are the headlines.
Mitchell, the inbounder, it's Mobley, doesn't matter, and the Celtics come into Cleveland on the second night of a back-to-back and knock off the Cavaliers.
All right, the Boston Celtics have won 5 of their last 7 games. They are climbing up the standings, and Peyton Pritchard, a 42-point performance against Cleveland last night. And how about Jaylen Brown, who lately has been going toe-to-toe with all the number ones in the league and has been right there with him, not winning every single game, but, you know, going right there shot for shot with Anthony Edwards, going up against Cade Cunningham, going up against Donovan Mitchell last night. All of these guys, Jaylen Brown as the number one. That's why it's important. I mean, you're going to play these guys. You got to face them. But one of the questions this year about this team and about Jaylen Brown and not having Jason Tatum is, can Jaylen Brown step up and be that number one guy? Can he be the focal point of the offense? And can you win games and be successful against the good teams in the league with Jaylen Brown as your main guy? And so far, the answer to that question isn't a resounding yes, but it's a yes. It's definitely a yes. He has been everything you could have wanted, maybe a little bit more efficient with his shooting, but, listen, he is a high-volume shooter and a high-volume scorer, and he's averaging 28 points a game.
Yes and no.
You know, like, that's he's going out there and doing what has been asked of him, and I am very, very pleased with that. I really am. I think this year was supposed to be the year, and I think a lot of people were expecting this might be the year where Jaylen Brown would get, oh, this is when you realize that contract was too much. He is proving everybody who thought that wrong. And for the record, I was not one of those people. I was not one of those people that was anti-giving Jaylen Brown a max contract. I thought it was the move. I thought keeping these two together and having them be teammates for however long you can, guaranteeing it with those contracts, was the right move. And I still think that now. And I certainly think that even more so now because Jaylen Brown has shown that in the absence of Jason Tatum, he can step in and be that guy. So that is great news. And I thought that was a real nice performance from Peyton Pritchard, a guy who has, you know, this year not been playing his best, certainly not playing his best. That was one of his best games ever. And if that means you've unlocked Peyton Pritchard and that he's going to be more like that guy going forward, I'm certainly looking forward to that. I've also noticed that Anfernee Simons hasn't been getting a lot of run lately, and that happened pretty quickly. He went from a very valuable guy off the bench, and I know he played more against Cleveland, but, you know, 12 minutes against Detroit, 18 minutes against Minnesota, his shooting percentage not great in those two games, 22 minutes against Orlando, he shot very well in that game, 12 minutes against the Clippers, 18 minutes against Orlando in one of those games. Not that I think he deserves to be starting or playing as much as Jaylen Brown plays, but I am surprised when I, you know, I'm watching the game for a while and I'm like, oh, yeah, Simmons checks. And I go, oh, right, yeah. All right, I forgot about that. No, Simmons checks, excuse me. It's one of those things. It's one of those weird things. I kind of expected him to be more of a core player. And I feel like lately he's been kind of relegated to further and further back off. We'll see. Well, I'm just keeping an eye on that. Something to keep an eye on. In the meantime, the story here is Jaylen Brown and potentially now Peyton Pritchard. Let's get to our next headline.
DeBrincat has to score here to extend the game. Twist to the slot. Swing in! Look at that celebration! Bruins win! A spectacular night here at TD Garden!
Swaytacular. Very nice, Judd. Jeremy Swayman, don't look now, is rounding back into the form that we were all hoping for when he signed that contract. So in your face, Andy Hart. It took a year plus, but we're starting to see that Jeremy Swayman again. And if that's who you get for, and he's not playing to the point of like a top contract. He's, you know, getting back into the top 10 in a lot of these stats. And he has been awesome lately. And he was awesome in that game against Detroit on Saturday night, for sure. Morgan Geeky, what can you say about him? I am fully on the Geek Squad. Geeky, two more goals, keeping pace with Nathan MacKinnon. Geeky had a great year last year, scoring 30 goals. It's December 1st, and he's got 20 this year. He's on pace for 60. Like, that's insane. Where did this come from? Where did Morgan Geeky come from?
He's not a free agent.
I didn't say he was a goddamn free agent. I was so mad. I don't know why he kept saying that. I never said he was a friend. Let's not do this. But yeah, Morgan Geeky, just absolutely dominant. He has been a dominant goal scorer in the league this year. And with Swayman rounding back into form, this team certainly misses Charlie McAvoy. That's apparent. You saw it in a couple of these games that they've lost recently, like that Rangers game, for example. I thought they could have really used him in that Sharks game. Rangers in particular, when they were just pumping in goals 4-0 before you know it, they can't clear the puck out of their own zone at all. It was rough. I mean, it was a rough outing, rough holiday weekend sporting event. For the local teams there, but you know, you bounce back with a great win over Detroit, a Detroit Red Wings team that has been right there keeping pace with you most of the year, and right now at 15-12-0, the Bruins are only behind Tampa Bay. It's still very close. Montreal 29 points, Ottawa 28, Detroit 28, Tampa 34, Boston 30, and then you got Florida and Toronto with 25, Buffalo 24. It is still a lot to still be proven here by this Bruins team. But if you keep getting these kind of performances from Jeremy Swayman, and not just those kind of performances from Jeremy Swayman, but also Swayman is going to have to go back to being more of a 65-35 goal if they really want to get where they're going, because Korpisalo has been brutal lately. Oh, has he been brutal? He's been, like, hard to watch lately. And Swayman's been very good. So I'm hoping that Korpisalo gets better, obviously. But even if he does, I still think Swayman, at his best, is a guy that should be getting that much of the split when it comes to him in that. I just think that that's what you're paying him for, first of all. And I also think he's good enough when he's on to be that kind of goalie, too. All right, let's get to our next headline. The Bill Belichick debut season with North Carolina has ended with a whimper as the North Carolina Tar Heels got absolutely smoked by NC State. It was indeed a very sad trombone kind of game, as college football this weekend was sort of interesting. We did get more into that a little bit later. Certainly with the situation over there at Ole Miss. I mean, that's the main headline. But there were some other interesting games there. Texas beating A&M. Georgia just squeaking by Georgia Tech, but the one that's got people buzzing around here, if you want to say buzzing, maybe that's a little bit strong, would be North Carolina getting pantsed by NC State 42-19, and thus ends the debut maiden voyage for Bill Belichick at UNC. They finished 13th in the ACC with a record of 4-8. That's slightly better than Virginia Tech, who was 3-9, better than Boston College, who was 2-10, and better than the Syracuse Orangemen, who were just, oh, were they bad? It's the only team BC could beat. Notre Dame, I think, just scored against them again, even though that game was 2 weeks ago. I think they're still scoring touchdowns on them. Yeah, it was a tough one.
That's what I do.
Tough one for Bill. The question now is, will this be it? Was there anything in this season, anything about this season, that is going to make them want to bring him back? I don't know that there's a good answer to that question. I think the main thing that's keeping Bill Belichick, that would keep him there, is pride on the part of UNC. For all the talk about Robert Kraft and how, you know, he may have lost his fastball and he doesn't make great decisions, all that stuff, he recognized what the problem was there with Gerard Mayo, and he pulled the ripcord, and he realized it was the right thing to do.
Not talking about this.
And we are talking about this, Jordan. I'm sorry. I don't know if UNC is going to be able to swallow their pride that much. I don't know if they are. I don't know if that guy who ripped the sleeves off his tuxedo is going to be able to go up there. And if he does, he should have the sleeveless tuxedo again when he announces that they're firing Bill. That would be funny. Now, that would be funny.
Or he'd have duct tape to put him back on.
Maybe, yeah. It'd be funnier if he just, you know, acted like it was totally normal to not. It's like, yeah, I did it at first for Bill, but now I just like it. That's just what I do. Either way, the UNC thing, I think, was a total disaster this year. And it was a tough year for a lot of high-profile coaches. It was a very bad year for Dion at Colorado, very bad year for Bill O'Brien, you know, and the situation with Ole Miss, I mean, you know, it's one of the biggest stories in football right now, as Lane Kiffin spurning Ole Miss as they go on to the playoff, to the college football playoff, a chance to win the national title, and he is out of there and headed to LSU. And getting paid $100 million. And I'd love to say I'm shocked. I'd love to feign outrage at this. But I just can't. I can't muster it. I'm sorry. I'm not surprised by this. I'm not surprised by any part of it. Bill Parcells didn't fly home with the team after the Super Bowl. All right? You know, he went and joined the Jets right after that. That made me numb to stuff like this. I just, you know, I know it's college kids and it's a little bit different, but college kids can transfer too if they really want to. You don't like the Kiffin screwed you over? Fine, transfer. Just go ahead and transfer. Why not? And there you go. Those are your. Or do we have one more headline? Oh, yeah, we do have one more headline. Let's get to that last headline. This last headline, I almost skipped this. I almost skipped it. Sean McAdam, who we talked to on Friday. Sean McAdam.
Wednesday,
not Friday. Duh, Wednesday. It was the last day that we had shows last week.
It felt like a Friday, so I understand.
Yes, it certainly did. Sean McAdam reporting that the Red Sox are willing to go over the luxury tax, but not too far over, because while they are expecting to operate at a loss, they don't want that loss to get any bigger than it needs to. Operating at a loss? Are you serious? Are you serious? The Red Sox are okay going over the first CBT threshold set at $244 million. That would translate to them absorbing a modest financial loss. Yeah, would it? Anything beyond that, there is a reluctance to incur bigger deficits. You know, I know we're the flagship station for the team, but I can in good conscience rip on Hal Steinbrenner the way that I did when he was saying kind of the same stuff, kind of saying the same crybaby nonsense, and give the Red Sox a pass for this. Now, this is McAdam reporting it. I don't think that this is something that, like, we don't know what the books are, right? The books are private. We're not going to know. But according to the team, they are operating, or would be operating, if they go to $244 million this year, they would absorb a modest financial loss. How can that be? Like, really, how can that be? That seems, I'd love to just not, you don't have to explain every single, you know, bean on the bean that you're counting, but can you give me, like, just give me, like, sort of a, lay it out for me like I'm a econ major and it's my freshman year, all right? Something that, like, a 17 to 18-year-old could understand. That may be with the level that I'm operating on, okay? For being honest here, when it comes to that type of stuff, that's about where I am mentally. If you could do that, I'd really appreciate it, because I'd love to know how this team going to $244 million would suddenly equal them operating at a loss. And maybe it does. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm just sort of getting mad at the idea of these rich guys saying that they're poor. You know, like that's sort of, it may just be that. All right. I think we're all, there's a little bit of that with everybody. But I find that hard to believe. I just do. If you're operating at a loss, why keep doing it? You're not willing to spend to really compete with the good teams. You're losing money anyway. What's in it for you? You know, like at this point, if you're losing money, what's in it for you? They clearly don't care about spending as much as they can to win every year, you know? So like, so what's left if that's what's going on? I just, you know, I feel like that's a weird thing to be leaking right now. I feel like that's a weird factoid to be out there. I don't like it. It's very unsettling. Very unsettling. Not the least of which is because it made him sound like the owner of the Yankees.
It's expensive to have baseball players.
Made him sound like a Steinbrenner right there, and not the guy who spent a lot of money either.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's about 7:30 here. It's Christian Arcand Show, WEEI. I say 7:30, how about 8:30? It's 8:30, not 7:30. Who cares? Who cares what time it is? Patriots scored, but it was a field goal. And unfortunately, they were had a red zone trip. Moved the ball pretty well against this Giants defense. Some nice runs, mostly Ramondre Stevenson getting the runs. Hunter Henry with a big first down. Mac Hollins. And then they get into the red zone. Stevenson, the 7-yard rush. Drake May hits Hunter Henry. They get to the 16-yard line. Or no, they were on the 16, and then the Henry play gets them to the 7. It's now first and goal, which is the natural enemy of the New England Patriots this year. Henderson stuffed. May dumps it off to Henderson. He gets the 2 yards. They're on the 6. May looking for Diggs on the 4. Can't find him. Borregales kicks a field goal. And now the Giants have the ball. They're moving it. They're now on a 3rd down right now. So, or now it's 4th down. Picked up 2 yards. Got stopped. So, yeah. Not quite a 3 and out. They picked up a couple first downs. They're 5 plays, 15 yards. Giants are punting. Patriots looking to score in their first 2 drives. Okay, that out of the way. It is 8:30. 8:30 on the dot, as a matter of fact. And as we always do at 8:30, it is time for your New England Nightly News.
New England Nightly News.
Okay, so Karen Reed official trial is over. But that doesn't mean that there aren't some big trials coming up and ongoing here in the Massachusetts, New England area, including Oh, looks like Patriots just scored a touchdown. That would be a 94-yard punt return for Marcus Jones. Very nice. Tell you what, my guy, Marcus Jones said 2 years, 2 years ago, the year he got hurt, so I was a little early on this one, that Marcus Jones has a chance to be like a household name and, you know, a star in this league. I don't know if he's quite there yet, but this year is certainly not hurting his case. A 94-yard punt return.
Apparently, on the countdown show on ESPN, they did a piece on him. He's into post-production.
Post-production, huh?
Yeah, like a videographer and stuff like that.
I know he's like he's a singer, too. Has like some R&B songs. Or maybe, I don't know if he raps. I think he sings. At any rate, what can he do? What can't he do? For the nightly news, though, which we'll get to right now, we are going to talk about the Brian Walsh trial, which had opening arguments today. Here is a quick recap.
The prosecution never really laid out their theory of how Anna Walsh was killed. Well, now the defense says they're filling in the blanks. They say Brian Walsh found his wife deceased and then panicked. Brian Walsh's defense team for the first time explains what they say happened to Anna Walsh in the early morning hours of January 1st, 2023.
But he nudged Anna, his wife. She didn't respond. He nudged her again, a little harder. She didn't respond.
Walsh's attorney says Anna was a victim of sudden and unexplained death, and he panicked.
It didn't make sense that somebody that he had just been with and enjoy New Year's Eve into New Year's Day would suddenly be dead.
Prosecutors laid out circumstantial evidence, including the hatchet, hacksaw, and cleaning supplies Walsh bought and later found with DNA evidence on some of the items. They also went through Walsh's Google searches.
Best way to dispose of body parts after a murder.
The prosecution showed extensive photos of the Walsh home, but did not give an account of how Anna was killed. The jury also heard several police interviews where prosecutors say Walsh misled investigators.
I don't want to hide anything from you because if that could lead to finding my wife sooner, that's the most important thing.
We will prove the defendant guilty beyond a reasonable doubt of the premeditated murder of his wife, Anna Walsh.
But the defense contends Brian Walsh may have told a story and lies, but he did not commit the crime.
Brian Walsh never killed him. Brian Walsh never thought about killing him.
Okay. Opening statements today in the Brian Walsh murder trial. And we're finally, we knew what the pleas were going to be. We knew that Walsh was pleading not guilty to the murder, but guilty to lying to the police and guilty to disposing of the body, right? Disposing of the remains, which was particularly gruesome. And I think the question everyone had was, how do you thread that needle? How do you say that I didn't do this, but then I did that? And the story that they're going with is that she died some other way, naturally, I don't know. She died suddenly and unexpectedly. And Brian Walsh panicked and disposed of her body. He didn't panic and call the police and say, hey, my wife died. Hey, my wife's not breathing. Hey, come save my wife. He didn't panic and do that. He panicked and disposed of the remain. Like, I don't know. I feel like that's going to be a tough one. That's going to be a tough sell. We'll see, I guess. The prosecution highlighted that Walsh contacted his wife's employer to say he had not heard from her in days, never reported his wife missing to the police. It was the employer who first reported her missing. The hatchet and the hacksaw, I'm wondering how they're going to spin that one. But hey, I'm not a lawyer. I don't know. I don't know how you go about that defense. I don't know how you get talked into doing that kind of defense. But that started off today, and I don't think that this is going to have the same kind of crazy appeal that you saw with the Karen Reed trial. And I know I say appeal; it's kind of a, you know, ghoulish way of looking at it. But I don't think it's going to capture the imagination of the country quite like the way Karen Reed did. I think that this one's probably going to be a little bit more of a straightforward one. But it's another big trial going on in Dedham, and, you know, we'll see. We'll see what ends up happening here. You do know that the investigator from Karen Reed's involved in this one, too. And last time, that didn't go great for the prosecution. So we'll see. We'll see if that's a problem here. We'll see if this affects other cases that he's been a part of. I mean, I guess that's entirely possible, too. I don't know how deep that's going to go or what they're going to actually do about it. But, yeah, Walsh thing underway, and it is a wild story. Certainly a very sad story, one way or another. And I think this guy is going to have a hard time. I think it's going to be tough for him. It's going to be tough for that defense team. But, you know, I thought the same thing about Karen Reed. I didn't think there was much of a chance early on before, you know, before you saw all the things that the mistakes that the cops made. I thought that she was probably going to get convicted at one point, too. But then, yeah, then it seemed like that would probably be impossible. So who knows? I mean, listen, there's a reason why everybody gets their day in court. All right, there is your New England Nightly News here on this Monday night as the Patriots play on Monday Night Football. Patriots leading 10-0, by the way. A field goal on the first drive. They got the Giants to punt on their first drive. And that first punt return by Marcus Jones, 94 yards to the house. Giving the Patriots an early first quarter double-digit lead, which is good news if you bet the Patriots to cover the 7.5.
A little mini scuffle here after a huge hit on Jackson Dart from Christian Ellis.
Yeah, big-time hit. He was out of bounds. Or was he? No, he wasn't yet out of bounds. No, he wasn't. That was a very, very clean hit. Clean hit. And they were beefing earlier on that first drive. The Giants offensive line, and I saw Calavon Chase and a couple other guys, going at it for sure. Oh, yeah, both feet were in bounds. He really rocked them, though. I mean, Ellis lifted him off his feet. And now here comes Johnson. It looks like the tight end. Everybody going after him. Listen, there's nothing wrong with that hit. There is nothing wrong with that hit.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Christian Arcand Show here at WEEI. Live in our Brighton studios. We have a Mumford signing. Second and one, short yardage here. They loaded up low. I think Moses is out there. Yeah, Moses is on the other side, but they brought in an extra tackle. And Mumford, they picked up the first down there. And let me just say, not to go too much into this game as it's being played, but that hit on Jackson Dart by Christian Ellis was ridiculous. A ridiculous hit. In a good way. I don't mean like it was a bad play. Like, it was ridiculously good. That was wild. Dart could have gone out of bounds. He was close enough to the sideline. He tried to pick up the extra yard. Ellis comes at him full speed. And when I say he lifted him off his feet and turned his body sideways, like he almost did the John Elway helicopter thing. It was like a cartoon. He launched him. It was like the Roadrunner or something. Like, that was crazy. That was a crazy play. Patriots on the move right now. Drake May finding Hunter Henry, who had about five steps on whoever that was trying to guard him. And the Patriots now back in the goal to go. And there we go. Kayshon Booty touchdown, 17-0 Patriots. Looks like I'm going to get half of my prediction right, and that's the Patriots scoring a lot of points. Giants right now searching for answers early in this one. It's 17-0 in the first quarter. There's still a minute left to go in the quarter here. Yeah. That's nice. Anyway, it is a quarter of nine. And I know a lot of people traveled last week because it was Thanksgiving, and a lot of people are probably going to be traveling in the next couple of weeks due to it being Christmas, the holiday season. I'm traveling not this week, but next week, and I am dreading it. And if you tried to travel this past week, you probably know why. The numbers are in, and the numbers are coming up for this big storm we're about to have here. 1,500 flights being canceled due to the storm.
Long lines outside DMVs formed across the country with people trying to get their real IDs. For years, the government...
Hold on a second, Joe. Sorry about that. I screwed up. Let's talk about that, and then we'll get to the real ID. We don't have audio on the Nor'easter. All right, never mind. There's a big storm coming up tomorrow. Many, many flights have been canceled. And that's why I was mad at Duffy the other day. That's why I was yelling at Duffy about him saying what we shouldn't wear to the airport. Worry about getting the flights off on time and not having to cancel a million flights and not having, you know, the TSA workers not show up for work and the air traffic controllers not getting paid and all that other stuff. You worry about that, and I will worry about my wardrobe. I'll worry about my clothes. And I think that's a very, very good social contract that we should maintain here through the holiday season. Anyway, that's one part of it. The other part of it is this. As you may remember, last time I had to travel somewhere, it was this past summer. I went out to Denver. And I did not have my real ID. Now, because I didn't have my real ID, you would think that there would be some sort of harsh penalty for it. There was not. All that happened as I left Boston was they took like a little hanky and they swabbed my hands. And then they were like, all right, go ahead. And I just checked in like I normally would and went through security. On the way back, flying back from Denver, it was great. I didn't have my real ID. I don't have a real ID. I still don't have one. And, The guy says, well, where's your real ID? I say, I don't have it. And he goes, okay. And he gives me this big orange card, and he goes, come with me. And we cut past everybody in the TSA line. We cut in front of all these people who had their real ID and who were just, you know, waiting to go through security. I walked right past all of them. I got a special screening. And in the special screening, the guy took my phone, and he rubbed the hanky over my phone. That little, you know, that little handkerchief thing. And then he rubbed it on my hands, and he ran it through the machine, and he's like, okay. Looks like you're okay. You know, they say like your phone is like the dirtiest thing in the world. I wonder what they did see on the phone. You know what I mean? Like it's probably some gross stuff on that phone. Everybody's phone. It's probably like a thin layer of some pretty gross stuff all over these phones. So I feel bad for the guy. He had to go test that. But anyway, he gets done testing and he goes, okay, here's directions and instructions on how to get your real ID. Make sure you go get it. Go ahead. And I cut everyone. I cut everyone in the line. Instead of waiting for like a half hour in the line, I walked right to the front. I had a little half-assed little screening there for my phone, whatever gross stuff's on my phone, and in my hand. And that was it. And he goes, all right, have a nice flight. And I kept going. That was it. That was the whole thing. So I'll say this. That was sort of, for me anyway, kind of incentive not to ever get the real ID. Because if that's what's going to happen, if they're just going to keep pushing me up to the front of the line, then why ever get the thing? Well, here's why. Go ahead, Joe.
Long lines outside DMVs formed across the country with people trying to get their real IDs. For years, the government pushed for the updated federally compliant license or identification card, but repeatedly delayed implementation. In most states, the ID has a star symbol in the top corner of the card. Now, Congress passed a law back in 2005 following the 9/11 attacks, requiring real ID in order to fly domestically or access certain federal buildings. But Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem told lawmakers yesterday, travelers without their real ID can fly for now, but will likely have to go through a few extra steps. And if you're flying without your real ID, the federal government says you should show up to the airport extra early and be prepared for additional screening.
Okay, so that's what they're doing now. They're also charging you $45. You also have to pay $45 if you don't have the real ID, unless you have your passport, which is how, for the next time I'm traveling, what I'm going to just bring the passport with me. Why not? Transportation Security Administration announced today that starting February 1st, travelers who do not present an acceptable form of ID may opt to pay a $45 fee and verify their identity through TSA's alternative identity verification system known as Confirm ID.
Shut up and take my money.
What? Why do they not trust our driver's license? Why are they so skeptical of our driver's licenses being who we really are? People, is that what's happened now? Young people have like now managed to manufacture these really convincing fake driver's licenses? Is that what's going on? Maybe that's what's going on. I don't know. I'm very out of touch with what young people are doing. But it seems like, are the driver's licenses, are they just no good anymore? Everybody's just got a fake driver's license all over the place. Like, that's what's happening. That's what's going on in the streets these days. Because they are really, really pushing this thing. The real ID, you're right. They started that in 2000. After 9/11, or 2001. After 9/11, it was like a response to that. And then they just bleeped off about it for 25 years. Like, they did not really get very serious about it at all. And I was perfectly okay with that. I think everybody was. You need more ID? You need more ID? Now I also need this ID? I got my driver's license. That's not good. Okay. Now I need this other special ID that you just made up that we all need to have. I don't know. I don't like that. I don't like that. Again, I feel like they're just focusing on the wrong things. We needed to get into federal buildings. Okay, if I ever need to get in the federal building for whatever reason, then fine. Maybe I'll get it for that. But to fly, I fly more than I go into federal buildings, I think. I don't know. Does that include like the post office? Is that a federal building? Do I have to show my ID to go there? I don't think so. I don't think that's how it works. Last time I mailed something at the post office, I didn't need to have a real ID. They're not quite as skeptical about that stuff as they are at the airport, I guess. I don't know. I think it's stupid. I think it's stupid. Leave me alone with the real ID. I don't want to get a real ID. I don't want any more forms of identification. I don't need to be in all these systems, you know? Like, what's the point? Why do you need to know all this about me? You know where I live. You know where I am. I'm not hiding. What do I need this other ID for? Come on. But that's what's going on. And now they're making money off it. So, yeah, you show up, don't have the real ID, you just got the driver's license, that'll be $50. Thank you. And that money is not going to go towards anything that you care about. Nope. we're just going to take $50.
Yeah, money.
Once approved, the identity verification would be valid for 10 days. After that period, travelers without a real ID or a passport will need to pay the fee again if they travel. So, you're okay. If you fly a lot without the real ID, you're okay. 10 days go by, we're going to need another $50. So there you go. All right. Anyway, that's your New England Nightly News.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.